Hi, welcome back to Redefined by Love. My name is Jennifer McPherson, and I am the host of Redefined by Love. And today I want to share with you something that completely shifted the way that I see the Father's heart toward me. And I'm going to go into that in a second. So for right now, if this is the first time that you have found us, we want to let you know, first of all, that we are so glad that you came to listen in. We encourage you to stick around and stay a while. Don't forget to share, like, and subscribe to this podcast and the corresponding YouTube channel. We welcome you to also definitely follow us on YouTube at Lord Send Me Counseling and Training. If you're unfamiliar with us here at Redefined by Love, what we like to do is just what the name says. We want to redefine the way you see yourself, others, and the world around you by reintroducing you to the love of God, right? And it will redefine everything and change your life. So right now, I want to go right into today's episode. So today I want to talk about entering the open door of Christ, okay? So if you're anything like me, for years I thought of Christ as a closed door. And what I mean by that is I always saw him as a place of segmentation, a gateway, if you will, that I had to, a gatekeeper, that I had to get past to get to God. That's the way that the scripture had always been presented to me. But in recent years, right, the Lord has begun through Holy Spirit, the ministry of Holy Spirit, he's begun to reveal to me that Christ is not a closed door at all. In fact, he is the epitome of an open door. And when I began to see him this way, when I began to understand truth, that all had been welcome in, it transformed everything about how I am able to receive the Father's love. So a lot of how I view the Lord was in light of this fear that at any given moment I was going to screw up and God was going to be angry with me and not accept me, right? And when this revelation began to become more clear to me that Jesus was actually the door of invitation into the love of the Father, right? It began to break down all of those walls and it transformed everything about my life as a byproduct. Okay, and so that's what we're going to talk about today. So, first thing is the misunderstanding of Christ as a closed door. So, I grew up with this subtle belief that God's love was distant, conditional, or reserved for the future. In fact, I will tell you that whenever I stumbled or felt unworthy, it was like I imagined this big, heavy door that had been slammed shut in my face, right? I believed that in order to come to the love of God, in order to receive the love of God, I needed to somehow fix myself to present myself as good enough or qualified to stand before him, right? And the consequence of this. So you might say, well, what's the big deal, right? A lot of people think like that. Well, the consequence of this type of thinking, right, is that it creates a distance and fear version of God. So not the fear of God, but a fear that stops us from being boldly willing to come before the Father. Right? It is actually a shame-induced perspective. So when you go and you read the book of Genesis, and we're not going to go there today, but when you read the book of Genesis and you read about how Adam and Eve, of course, but how they hid from the Lord, what the scripture is explaining to us is that they had been exposed to shame. right? So the tree of the knowledge of good and evil produces shame because it leaves us thinking on a cognitive level to try to assess and identify whether or not we qualify based on a set of things that we have or have not done, right? And this caused me to feel as though my relationship and love of God was fragile instead of steadfast. And there is a difference between the two of these. So a fragile relationship with God means I believe that at any given moment, he can be sick of me and cast me aside. A steadfast relationship with God means I understand that my connection to him is secure, right? Like, I'm not in fear of him someday just casting me aside because I haven't measured up, right? I'm understanding that the measure is Christ, right? And so I can't possibly do something or fail to do something that gets me cast out from the heart of God, because the heart of God is actually my origin, right? And so what happens when we begin to enter into the revelation of Christ as the open door? Well, something profound happened, right? One day, as I was sitting with the Lord, he began to lead me over to the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 8. And I'm just going to read that for you here, okay? And it says, I know all that you've done. Now I have set before you a wide open door that none can shut. For I know that you possess only a little power, yet you've kept my word and haven't denied my name. So what is this verse telling us? It's telling us, first of all, that Christ is an open door. And the door that is opened through Christ cannot be shut by any man, right? And so no man can appease or stop me from gaining access to that which God has already qualified me to gain access to, right? So when he says no man can shut it, the realization or the revelation that comes out of that, in my life at least, was that Christ himself is the open door. He is the permanent access point to the Father. And this door is not fragile, it's not conditional, and it's not swinging shut when I fail. It remains open because he finished the work. His finished work on the cross actually keeps this door open. So as long as we are living from this place where we believe that we're shut out and Jesus becomes the gatekeeper instead of the gateway, then we are constantly believing that we must somehow do extra works or do something to qualify ourselves to come before the Lord. But when we understand that Jesus actually used himself and presented himself as a gateway to give us access to the Father, it eradicates that thought process that says, we are not good enough, we don't qualify, and we've got to fight our way through. Because then we realize there's nothing to fight, because that door that he opened cannot be shut. Not only can no man shut it, but no thing can shut it. So the demonic things that you might battle, the depression, the anxiety, the addiction, whatever your thing is that you've battled in your life, that is not powerful enough to shut you out of the door that is Christ Jesus. And everything, the finished work that he completed on the cross, means that there is ever an access point available for us to enter in and boldly come before the throne of grace in Christ. So, what does this show us about the Father's love? What does me understanding this show me about the Father's love? Well, I began to understand a couple things here. So first of all, Since Jesus is the open door, the Father's love is not something that I must strive to enter. It's a reality that I'm already standing inside of. Now, this is a very powerful thing to come into realization of, because what it does is it completely eradicates every lie that told me and likewise you that we've got to somehow fight or strive or accomplish some big thing in order for God to want to receive us in. And it replaces that lie with the realization that, wait a minute, He's already received us in. We are already welcome into the fold. We are already invited to the table, right? Any analogy you want to use, pick one. But we are already included, right? And then John 10:9 says, I am the gateway. To enter through me is to experience life, freedom, and satisfaction. So Jesus is saying, and in other translations, it says, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. What does this mean? This means that we are invited in. And when it says we find pasture, that word pasture is talking about peace, satisfaction, freedom, joy. Everything we look at as fruit of the Spirit, that's where we find it, in the embrace of the Father's love, right? So the imagery here is not a locked gate with God behind it. It's a door swung wide open for relationship, rest, safety, and belonging. So this brings us into the revelation of rested identity. The reality that Christ did all the work that needed to be done to give you and I access to the kingdom realm, to God's realm, right? So all we have to do is receive it or enter into it. And when we do so, there we find rest, there we find rejuvenation, there we find peace, there we find joy, and all the things that our souls long to have, right? But don't know how to get to it. And the father isn't waiting on the other side with a checklist. He's running toward us as the prodigal's father did, with open arms. Now, this is really powerful for me, because I used to really struggle with this. I felt like God had a list of people, and I'm going to be honest. I felt like I wasn't on it. I felt like there was no way I was going to qualify. There was no way I was going to be good enough. There was no way that I was going to make it past his gatekeeper. And because of that, I constantly felt like my relationship with the Lord was in jeopardy. Like, I felt like if I did things right that day, if I had prayed that day and I fasted that day and I didn't do anything, quote, wrong, then I felt like, okay, maybe he'll take me, maybe he'll accept me in, right? But the reality of it is this: the life that Christ got for us, secured for us on the cross, means that we are now in part of the ecosystem of the kingdom, right? And therefore, there is nothing that can take us out of that. There is nothing that can yank that off of us or remove our access to it. And so that brings us back to the conversation about the door that's open, right? Eternally. That door has been opened, and there is no power in earth or the demonic realm or even heaven itself that can close that door, right? Because Jesus has made himself the gateway. Jesus made himself the access point of God. And so anyone that would preach a message or whatever you want to call it that says there's some added list of responsibilities and duties and things of that nature that we must accomplish in order to be worthy of coming into this love that has already been given to us freely. That is a lie from the pit of hell. It is an antichrist message, because he's saying he's already welcomed us in. And so if you're this far in this podcast, I want you to take a minute and I want you to really think about your life. I want you to think about how you've lived your life. I want you to think about the experiences that you've had. And I want you to really answer this question for yourself. This isn't for me. This is for you. Do I really believe that Christ is the door? And do I really recognize that as he reconciled all humanity in himself, that I have already been reconciled in Christ? And therefore, I get the right, I get the privilege, I have the honor of being a part of God's kingdom. Not only do I get to enter into his kingdom, I have literally been grafted in and I am a part of his kingdom. This revelation will completely shatter every lie that the enemy has used to convince you, me, all of us, right? Because I was there once. But he uses these lies of expectation to convince us that we don't qualify. When in actuality, God said that you and I are a part. We're a part of Christ. We have been grafted into the body of Christ, and therefore Christ's body includes you. It includes me, right? And so who can stop us from accessing that from which we are a part of? You know, there's an Old Testament psalm that I absolutely love to read. It's one of my favorite psalms, and it says, where can I go? Where could I go where I'm out of the dominion and reach of God? Where could I find myself? So when scripture tells us all things were created in Christ and they all find their origin and conclusion in him, right? Where could I go? Or how far could I fall? What could I do? What mistake could I possibly make that would disqualify me from the love of God? I will answer that question for you. There is not a mistake you can make. There is not a place you can go. There's not a thing you can do that is capable of separating you from his love. It's just impossible. This took me years to understand. This was not something that I got easily. It took me a long time for him to completely deconstruct every lie that it told me I was separate from him, every lie that it told me I wasn't good enough, that I would never qualify, that there was no way that I was going to be worthy of his love. It's in the space where my heart found its rest and genesis in Christ. And this is something that we must understand. In order for me to enter into his rest, which is what the word of God says, I have to find my place in Christ and rest there. As long as I'm steadily looking for an answer externally, I'm looking for the world to define me, I'm looking for someone in the world to tell me I qualify, I'm always going to be without rest. But once I understand that my Genesis, origin, and completion are all found in Christ, I have no other option but to rest where I stand, because this is when he begins to unpack and reveal to me that in Christ, I'm surrounded by the Father's love. I am surrounded by his love. I am so covered in his love that the only thing I'm capable of experiencing is that love. Right. And when I'm there, when we get there, when we reach that point, that place where we're like, I'm planted, I am a seed planted in Christ, in his love. So the only thing that can come forth out of me is the nature and likeness of Christ. So how could the Father not be pleased? How could the Father not love me when I am of the incorruptible seed of Christ that bears his DNA in his image, right? And so this becomes a key that unlocks peace, that unlocks joy, that unlocks being seated and rested, right? And I don't know, last season, I think it was, I did an episode on this podcast called Rest for the Wanderer. And what I realized when I did that episode is that it sometimes can be really challenging to find rest. Sometimes we can literally struggle to find rest. We can ask ourselves, where is the rest? Where is the peace? Because we're doing the things. We're going to church. We are tithing. We are doing the worship services. We are doing the prayer meeting, but there's not rest, right? This is an indication that we may understand the Father's love, right? Someone may have given us information and we may even believe what they said, but we haven't entered in to the Father's love. And the truth is, coming to the door of his love is different than taking our seat in the realm of his love. And this is what Christ invites us into. Christ isn't inviting us into a life of further striving. Christ isn't inviting us into a life of fighting and battling demons forever. Christ isn't inviting us into a life where we have to wonder every day and search and constantly be searching for him. He's inviting us into a realm where he is all there is. And life flows out of us as a byproduct of this, right? And so what is this invitation, right? What's the invitation that he's given us? The invitation that he's given us is that your failures don't disqualify you. Let me repeat myself. Your failures or mine, they do not disqualify us. So what happened to me as a result of this, how this changed my life, I'm going to tell you something. I stopped relating to God from a place of fear or performance. And let me tell you something. I am a high producer. Naturally, I am. I'm very good at school. I'm very good at things that I set my mind to, right? But that was actually something that I had to allow to be crucified, because I always viewed myself as only being as good as what I was doing. And even as I say this, I feel the stirring of the Spirit of God saying that there is some people listening to this podcast or watching this podcast, and you are like that. You are a person who finds your validity, who finds your value in being useful and productive. You think that you are valued by him because of your gift. You think you're valued by him because you do this or that. But I want to tell you something. The biggest place of freedom and rest came for me when I understood I'm valued by him, not because I'm gifted, not because I'm obedient, not even because I'm faithful. I'm valued by him simply and completely because I am his beloved daughter that bears his image in the earth. And no one can ever take that away from me. No one can ever make that not true. I am a image bearer of God. So prayer became less about begging for access and more about enjoying the access I already had. Now, I want you to think again. I want you to ask yourself, the last time you prayed, were you praying asking God to come into the room? Were you asking God to help you ascend into the heavenly realm? Were you asking him to give you access to him? Or were you praying from the reality that you've already been given access and that you are actually seated behind that door that is Christ? My failures, I became aware that my failures didn't disqualify me. Instead, I learned to view them as opportunities to lean deeper into the grace of God. And when I made mistakes, when I had bad days, when I began to notice things that I needed to be healed from, the natural consequence of that was not to run from God and say, well, once I'm all together, I'll come back. The natural consequence of that was that I found my most safe place in God's presence. So I ran to God with my struggles. I ran to him with questions. I ran to him with the things that hurt my heart, right? And so it became literally a completely different experience of my walk with him. So it freed me from this idea that I could ever wear out his patience, because this open door never shuts. And that might be a challenge for some people to hear, right? But I'm telling you, the door does not shut. You can't shut the door. You can't do something that's enough to shut that door. You are welcome in through the wide open door. And there's nothing or no one that can take you out of his hands. Right? You are standing on the ground that is in Christ Jesus. And you get to rest there. Because this is not a place of striving, and this is not a place to try and conjure a move of God or make a miracle happen or make a vision or a prophetic word. None of this. These are all things that come as a natural byproduct of the incorruptible seed that is in you, of Christ Jesus. So what is the invitation that he's opening up to us? He's saying, here's the invitation that I want to extend to you. If you've been living your life as though God's love is behind a locked door, I want you to hear what the Spirit of the Lord says to you today. Christ has already swung the door wide open. You don't have to force your way in. You don't have to prove yourself. And you don't have to wait for some future moment. You're invited to walk boldly in his presence right now. He changed everything. It's changed, and it cannot be unchanged. And I like to read this verse in Hebrews chapter 10, starting with verse 19. It says, "And now we are brothers and sisters in God's family because of the blood of Jesus. And he welcomes us to come into the most holy sanctuary in the heavenly realm boldly and without hesitation. For he has dedicated a new life-giving way for us to approach God. For just as the veil was torn in two, Jesus' body was torn open to give us free and fresh access to him. So number one, you have been invited into the family of God. You are not an outsider. You are not an outsider begging for passage. You are not some person or thing that God has reluctantly accepted. You are a part of his family. And you have been welcomed into the beloved of God. So we are all part of his family. And therefore, there is nothing that can take away our access to him. So I encourage you to understand that you get to come boldly before the throne of grace. Jesus' finished work on the cross changed everything. There is no height, no depth. There is nothing that can keep you from the love of God. And what I want to tell you is that the moment I realized Jesus wasn't keeping me out, but inviting me in, it changed how I saw the Father forever. Now, no more shame, no more fear, and no more distance. Just a wide open door into the love of God. So I want to pray for you before we go. Lord, I pray for every single person under the sound of my voice that has come across this podcast here today. And Father, I just speak life and liberty over them right now. I command that any area in their life that they are struggling to experience the reality of freedom in you, Lord, that you would bring liberty and life to them right now by the power of your word. Lord, I thank you that you have eradicated everything that would separate us from the knowledge of your love. And you have brought us into the beloved through your precious and holy Son, Christ Jesus. And Lord, we recognize that Christ's work on the cross completed every expectation or requirement of the law. And Lord, we choose to lay down and cease our own efforts and instead step into the realm of beloved rest that exists in Christ Jesus. So today we come boldly before your throne, recognizing that we have been invited into the family of God. We are not trespassers and we are not sojourners that are being given diminished access to you, Lord. We are welcome. We are welcome in the beloved. And right now I speak to the heart of anyone who has felt rejected, anyone who has felt undervalued or unvalued, anyone who has felt unseen or unwanted. I speak right now to your soul and I say, be made whole in the name of Jesus. I thank you that you are coming to wholeness right now, swiftly and without fear or fight. In the name of Jesus, I restore your identity to your place of authority among the beloved of God. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, I want to thank you guys for joining me today on this episode of Redefined by Love. If this episode spoke to you, please do not hesitate to share this with someone who needs to be reminded of God's open invitation today. And as always, walk in the assurance that you are already deeply valued and deeply loved. If you need to reach out for any reason, feel free to contact us on YouTube. Lords and Me Counseling and Training is our YouTube channel. And look forward to seeing you guys next time. Thank you.